CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Tom Joslin and Bill Raggio, who have been my guide, thanks to the Long War Journal, through these many years, decades of the war in Afghanistan that at one time was seen as secondary to the larger crisis in Iraq. Now Afghanistan is back, dominating headlines not only in the United States, not only in Europe, chiefly to do with the famine and what is to be done, but also dominating the senior leaders of both Russia and Federation and the Chinese Communist Party, dominating China. One, for example, Moscow, TASS, in these last days, Russia calls on the neighboring countries of Afghanistan to prevent the military presence of U.S. and NATO forces on their territory. This was stated by Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov in a video message to the participants in a ministerial meeting of the neighboring countries of Afghanistan, Iran, China, Pakistan, Russia, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan. Mr. Lavrov said, "Once again, we call on the neighboring countries of Afghanistan to prevent the military presence of U.S. and NATO forces on their territory, which are planning to move there after leaving Afghan soil," says Russia. Tom, I also come with the report that China is now promising financing for Tajikistan, a small part of the stands, not a very populous state compared to Uzbekistan, but nonetheless gravely concerned with the migrant, with refugee flow from the starving Afghanistan into its territory. China will finance the construction of an outpost for a special forces unit. The post will be located in Tajikistan's eastern autonomous province in the mountains. Tom, how do you measure what's going on in the region? A contest between Moscow and Beijing, who makes the bigger promises? A warning that these states should not truck with the U.S. or risk alienating Moscow and Beijing? This is a moving story, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, Tajikistan obviously has the biggest concerns of the stands, or one of the biggest concerns of the stands, Central Asian states, when it comes to foreign jihadis coming from Afghanistan across the border and committing attacks. I think both China and Russia recognize that. You have a consortium of different Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups, and you also have ISIS has recruited Central Asian jihadis as well that they have to worry about. And, you know, I would guess that both China and Russia want to prevent America from having a pretext to do business with Tajikistan for counterterrorism purposes. So I'm sure that's playing a role. But, you know, to our broader point, John, Russia and China were rooting for this Taliban victory in Afghanistan. They enabled it in various ways. You know, let them balance this all out. Let them play this game that they were so eager to tie America's hands in for so many years. America can't pretend that we have some leverage here, some ability to affect a position that makes sense or that can balance out all these countervailing forces. America needs to protect itself and its own interests and look at it purely from that perspective. This idea that the U.S. can, you know, I even heard it at one of the hearings I testified at last month, the idea that the U.S. can work with China to counter counterterrorism threats coming out of Afghanistan. I think that's a very marginal case to be made there. The Chinese have their own interests and are willing to do anything to undermine the U.S. first and foremost. And I don't think that they're all that concerned about anti-American terrorists. They're only worried about Uyghur terrorists doing something in Xinjiang. And that's their own problem set to deal with, because the U.S. certainly can't own what the Chinese Communist Party is doing in Xinjiang.
Bill, I'm checking on the Taliban Al-Qaeda camps that existed over the years that you tracked at Long War Journal. Is there any indication now that the Taliban or the Al-Qaeda kindred are reawakening or expanding those camps? Because those would be a clear threat to the region's security.
Now, this is part of the black hole of intelligence that has been created since the U.S. withdrawal. Our ability to monitor these camps was limited even with the U.S. presence. I'll go back to that 2015 raid on the two massive Al-Qaeda camps in Shurbat district in Kandahar. The U.S. only learned about these after conducting a raid that killed another senior Al-Qaeda leader at a different location. So we only, in some cases, we learned about these camps only through by accident. This is with the U.S. presence in Afghanistan, with the U.S. air assets and working with Afghan intelligence. So we know next to nothing about what's happening here. I've seen no indications that the Taliban has dismantled any of these camps. I see no reason why these camps wouldn't be expanded now that the U.S. has left. The only thing is the Taliban might be wary of expanding an al-Qaeda presence, but then again, and just the other day, again, they denied that al-Qaeda is even in country. So you can't trust the Taliban as far as you could throw them in statements like this. So, I see no indication that there's been an expansion of the camps or that there's been an influx. But Afghanistan, again, it's just a black hole of information right now because of the U.S. withdrawal. This is one of the costs of the U.S. withdrawal. And, you know, Tom and I have been very critical of the U.S. presence in Afghanistan, the way we were fighting the war. But one thing you can say, with the U.S. presence there, we were at least able to have, even if it was tenuous, a grasp on the problem there and the ability to take action once an issue like a major camp arising, you could conduct a raid against it. But those days are long gone, John.
Tom, I go back to the conversation we're told on the phone between the Prime Minister of Pakistan and the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, Xi Jinping. Doesn't the Pakistan government have good information because of their own state security services, ISI, is said to be a driver on the Taliban's success, and that would mean that it has good information from the Haqqani network that is al-Qaeda. I'm puzzled at this pretense that Pakistan and China are threatened when, after all, they, at least Pakistan, is the paymaster of the people who are responsible for the Taliban's success.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, Bill and I argued till we were blue in our face that the Pakistani state was effectively in bed with the same jihadist forces that were going to boomerang back against them. You know, it's a classic case of blowback. And, you know, they made the calculation that they were going to remain invested in the jihad in Afghanistan. And as Bill rightfully picked up on this years ago, that the Pakistanis had come up with this idea in their mind that there was the good Taliban, which was seeking to overthrow Kabul and defeat America in Afghanistan, and the bad Taliban was going to come back and attack the Pakistani state. And the Pakistanis had this false dichotomy in their head that they could separate the two in these two different distinctions. And in fact, you can't. As Bill and I have documented many times, the good Taliban is the same thing as the bad Taliban because the Taliban is the Taliban. So the Pakistanis now own this, and this is something they're going to have to deal with. I mean, this is, you know, the U.S. can't pretend that it has any leverage over the Pakistani state, or if they just give them some more money, there'll be some reasonable outcome here. It just doesn't work. The Pakistanis created this problem. They were well informed of what they were doing for the last 20 years. They had every reason to know. They can't pretend that they were ignorant. They knew exactly what they were doing. Now they own the problems that they created.
And finally, Bill, checking on these reports, the U.N. is appealing to everyone to aid Afghanistan because of the famine. Do we have any information about that money that's already flowed from the U.S. into the Taliban's hands? Is there any monitoring of how it is spent? We just have 30 seconds, Bill.
There isn't, John. This is it's completely opaque. The U.S. taxpayer has, you know, everyone who was eager to leave Afghanistan cited $1 trillion, $2 trillion. Now they're so quick to throw money at the Taliban, hundreds of millions of dollars, and there's no accountability for that. The American public should be quite furious about this, and the administration needs to stop funding the Taliban.
So when we learn that, like North Korea, the generals or the leadership use it for their own purposes, we will not be surprised. Is that correct, Bill?
We will not be surprised one bit, John.
Bill Raggio, Tom Jocelyn, they are senior fellows, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. They keep the Long War Journal. They also do Generation Jihad podcasts. I highly recommend to catch up on where we are now as Afghanistan descends into darkness visible. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.